The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders and the Australians.
Sono felice di servire il Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
This is Tim Taggart. The program is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. We're visiting today with Bishop Slava Vorobyov of the Kiev, Ukraine Stake, and he's bishop of the Borshchevsky Ward, which is near the temple site in Ukraine. We're delighted to be able to have you and appreciate the fact that your stake president suggested that we visit with you. Bishop, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself and about your family, and a little bit about the area where you live.
Thank you, Tim. I'm 30 years old. I was baptized back in 1992 when I was 12. At that time I was the only member in my family. But my mom, she was very supportive of accepting new religion. I was a member of the church, active member of the church since then, and I'm married. My wife, her name is Tatiana, and we have three lovely kids. The oldest, she's almost seven, and then another girl, she's three, and the boy, he's two. We all live in Kiev, the outskirts of Kiev, I was called as a bishop 3 years ago to a newly created ward that is Borshchevsky Ward, as you mm-hmm. mentioned already.
Terrific. Well, tell us a little bit about how you came to discover the church and a little bit about your conversion experience.
Because I was born in USSR, the very first thing I told my mom when I came from the first class at the elementary school, I said, "Mom, I'm atheistic." That's because that's what they taught me to say and taught me to think.
Uh-huh.
But my grandparents, they were believers, and they told me about God. So even though I thought myself I'm atheistic, I thought that there might be something, some power. In time, I started to realize that the Soviet organization or the communists, they were not as good as they told us they are. And with this realization came understanding that probably atheistic education was wrong, just as many other things in communistic world. So I started to look for God. I started to search religion, the only one that we actually had back then in our country, in our city. And it was Orthodox Church.
Uh-huh.
So even though I was a kid of 9 or 11, I went with my mom or with my grandmother, went to the cathedrals or churches, I was practicing some rituals. I was reading some basic doctrine books, and I was interested in religion. And I can remember that my interest started from the point where I asked my mom, "Mom, why did not the communism work?" And she said that it would work if everyone would be just like Jesus Christ was.
Hmm.
So I asked her what kind of person Jesus Christ was, and that's where my search for Savior and for Christ started.
Hmm.
When I was 12 again, I saw the missionaries. They had a street display in downtown Kiev, I noticed the book that said that this is Book of Mormon, the New Testament of Jesus Christ, I wondered how much the book was. So those two missionaries, they were greenies, and they started to explain me something about the Lehi and boat and crossing the ocean, things like that. I couldn't understand a thing. So they they asked me to meet with them for a discussion, and that's what we did. And I think it was the third or fourth discussion when they invited me to be baptized. And just because it felt so good during our discussions, I must admit that I did not receive some clear testimony of the truthfulness of the gospel or restoration or the Book of Mormon, but I just felt so comfortable and so peaceful in those discussions, and they brought some members with them too, and it was a great spirit then. And I just had no doubt in my mind that I'm willing. I'm actually wanted to be baptized. And that's how I come to church. And as I mentioned that my mom, she was very supportive of me, but she never got baptized until like 8 years after.
Oh. So she finally came into the gospel as well.
Yes. Yes, she did.
That's neat. And so you found the church at age 12, and did you maintain your activity for most of the year since then?
Exactly. We had, because there were very few deacons or teachers in the small branches back then, we had some leased facilities. We had to haul heavy chairs back and forth for the classes, and it was tough, but it was something that made us feel busy and important.
Yeah.
And we just didn't have time for being less active, you know?
That
was
a
huge responsibility upon deacons and everyone in priesthood holders those times.
Yeah. Well, you felt needed.
Uh-huh.
And the Spirit of the Lord must have been there to help all the way along, like it was in those discussions as well.
Probably, yes. Can't remember, but probably, yes.
So tell us a little bit about the area of your ward and a little bit about the people of Ukraine that would help the people around the world understand the members of the church in Kiev.
In those days, in the early 90s, we had so many baptisms, and it was a feeling for probably the mission president and others had a feeling that because there are so many of the lost tribes in this area,
mm-hmm.
The gospel was readily accepted by so many people. Unfortunately, since then, very few have remained active in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But our baptism numbers decrease from year to year these days.
Mm-hmm.
But we feel like people who were baptized back then, they it's like in the parable of sower, when some of the seeds fell on the ground and they sprung, but they died
mm-hmm.
When the sun came up. So, people in our area, in Kiev, in Ukraine, are especially in Kiev because it's the capital of Ukraine, are pretty much well educated, and most of them grew in atheistic society in the Soviet Union, and for many it is quite a challenge to accept the gospel and start believing things they were taught by their parents or grandparents not to believe and to hate, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And but they, many of them are changing their views, and they accept God, accept the higher authority. Either they got baptized in our church or other churches, still they change their view. And where we live is it's mostly what we call a bedroom district. So where you have big apartment buildings and people live close to each other, and it's where you have public transportation overcrowded, and when you have it's not a downtown though, but a lot of people you can see on the streets, and it's how actually missionaries do their contacting and tracting. People of Ukraine are generally nice. They are famous for their hospitality. And I think the guests that we have from United States, for instance, some church authorities, they're amazed how nice the people of Ukraine are. But that's when you know them, then when you get in contact with them. But on the streets, we have some sort of masks or some shield that we inherited from that society, from the previous country, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
And it's a challenge in missionary work for members, both members and missionaries. Because
mm-hmm.
you need to really learn people and have them trust you before you can actually start talk to them about some personal things like religion and so on.
Yeah.
So that's why the growth of the church, I mean, in numbers and number of baptisms are declining, because with missionaries have got their low-hanging fruit at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and now it's a time when you have to reach out, and sometimes really you need a huge ladder to get to those top fruits, but it's rewarding.
Yeah. Do you have many children of members of the church, the second generation coming along?
Yeah, actually, in my ward, we have the biggest primary in the whole state. I would say that we have more than the rest of the state altogether. And each Sunday, we have, I'd say, 50 children, and it's a lot for Ukraine.
Terrific.
And so, yes, we do. We have many families that have 3, 4, and 5 children, and this is pretty unusual for our circumstance. I mean, for Ukraine and the life level, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Do you have many of your young people that are preparing for missions and have an opportunity to serve a mission?
Well, we in our ward, we have like 2 or 3 each year that go on the mission.
Great.
Young men, mostly young men.
Uh-huh.
But again, some of the challenges that are in Ukraine in our lives, mostly tied to financial problems, financial issues, or education.
Right.
It looks like those problems have bigger and bigger influence on the young man, so they mm-hmm. quite often decide not to go on a mission.
Right. Is there a compulsory military service, or is an education issue, getting into higher education, that's a challenge?
I would say higher education mostly, because
uh-huh.
Military service can be bypassed,
uh-huh.
or there are ways to escape it at least.
Uh-huh.
Education—it's quite important in Ukraine, probably as the rest of the world.
Right.
And in Ukraine, you can, in most cases, you cannot have a 2-year break.
Right.
When you start education, you need to finish it,
or right.
start it all over after you got home from your mission.
Uh huh. Are those who have served in the mission field come home and become part of your ward again? Or are they usually off to education or other things?
Yes, in most cases, the people who serve their mission and who remain faithful servants of the Lord after they got home, they receive all those blessings, like a job and education and families and so on. But definitely there are cases when people come from their missions and they just can't adjust, and they lose the track. They
mm-hmm.
get off the track.
I'm sure that's true everywhere, among young and old. This is the Mormon Channel. The program is Into All the World. I'm Tim Taggart, and we're visiting today with Bishop Slava Vorobyov of the Kiev, Ukraine stake, and it's delightful to be able to visit with you. Talk with us a little bit about what it's like with the temple under construction and what that's going to mean to the saints.
The Kiewer Crane Temple was announced in 1998, I think. And we're all very excited about Heaven Temple in Kiev. I did not go to, I did not receive my endowment until in 1999. I got married and I went to the temple and I got my endowment and we were still with my wife. So I did not realize how important it was. I was excited because, like, Kiev was the first city in whole Europe East area to receive a temple. So, but not until after I realized the importance of temple ordinances that I felt how honored we are, and I felt very grateful about this. It's been, I think it's been like almost 10 years since the day the temple was announced that we actually saw the start of the construction. And our world building is at the construction site, and it was the building occupies a smaller part of the property of the lot. And I can clearly remember several years ago when I taught seminary that time. As a bishop, I also taught seminary classes. And it was Wednesday night that I came to church, and I noticed some trucks on the site and some work going on. And I could not believe that the construction actually started. So I called my friends, and they all came with the cameras and started taking pictures of it, and that's how it started. They built a fence, and they dug a huge pit, and so on. And we traced it. I mean, each weekly coming to the church, we would see what has been done. They made this wall, and they started doing this wall, and then this built this road, and so on. And we belong to a Freiburg, Germany temple district, and we love those trips to this temple. That's, we have a busload of people, like from 40 to 65 people, and we call it a trip branch or trip board, and travel board. That's when you have those the best people of your stake in one bus, and you have the songs and the talks, and you travel for a week. As you just leave all the concerns and problems in Kiev, and you go there, and you just spiritually renewed and refreshed in this trip. And we just love that. And we sincerely hoped and wanted and longed and desired to have a temple in Kiev. Although we realize, and we realize now, that having a temple closer to us may appear to be a problem. Because it's like I have some friends who live in Salt Lake Valley. And I ask them, how often do you guys go to temple? And they say, like, once a month. That's our goal, to go once a month. I say, I can't believe it. We sacrifice, we spend our annual leaves, and we pay our trip to go to temple, and you have it just in your neighborhood, and you have a goal to go once a month. And say, and they often reply, we'll see what will happen when you'll have your temple. So
that's an interesting challenge, isn't it? Sometimes if it's in the backyard and it's too easy, you don't do it because it's too easy.
Yeah, you keep thinking, I'll do it tomorrow. And then when it comes tomorrow, think, well, I'll do it tomorrow or day after tomorrow because I'm pretty busy today. But those, you know, when we go to temple to Germany, we dedicate a whole week to it. And we know that we won't be doing anything else but going to temple and serving like 3 or 4 sessions in a row. And when we come home, we come a terrestrial people, we come terrestrial beings. But, well,
I'm sure it's a wonderful social as well as a spiritual experience to be with such great people and for that period of time.
Exactly.
You'll have to find a way of creating that same thing in the ward so that your journeys to the temple right in the same lot still have significant meaning for all the members.
Yeah.
The blessings that will come because of having that temple, though, will be remarkable. It's true in every area of the world as they receive a temple.
We have just this very time, this very day, we have Moroni coming to Ukraine, Moroni statue, and we expect to contemplate the mountain of Moroni statue on the top of the temple in, like, I think 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a milestone in this whole process of construction, and many people are anxious to catch the moment, to be there, the time it's going to be mounted.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm sure you've seen some interesting experiences already in the construction of the temple. Are there any of those things that you'd like to share? Maybe
that's
nothing comes to mind.
No, not really.
Well, the blessing that you'll have of having the temple right there in your backyard, I think, will be a marvelous blessing and a spiritual blessing for all the members of the church as they look forward to visiting the temple.
Yes, we have. We even now we have. There's a saying from I think it was Brigham Young who said that when there's a new temple about to be open, hell rings the toll or something.
Yeah, the bells of hell ring or something like that.
Yeah, sort of it. So we start kind of feel it now because mm-hmm. some of the members that were so strong and faithful, they faced the challenges they cannot overcome, and they slide away. And it's we never thought it could happen, actually. On the other hand, we feel some stronger support from behind the veil because we realize that there are so many people, our ancestors that who have died and who anticipate to receive those saving ordinances in this temple, and it just clearly felt this marvelous support from, especially in our family history work and this indexing projects also and things we do. So we have real battle behind our backs.
Yeah.
Behind the veil going on right now here in Kiev.
I'm sure that's true. And what a blessing it'll be to be able to have your new converts go to the temple for baptisms for the dead, as well as your young people, and be able to participate in the ordinances at an early stage of their church development.
We have many older people who cannot go to the Germany temple because of their health problems, because you'll have to travel in a bus for 30 hours. Mm-hmm. And some people just can't do that in terms of their physical health. So it will be a great blessing to them to have this temple here.
Yes. We're visiting with Bishop Slava Vorobyov of the Borshagivsky Ward of the Kiev, Ukraine Stake. The program's Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. Tell us a little bit about missionary work in the area and the full-time missionaries that are serving there. And what's your experience with the full-time missionaries, and how do you find people to teach?
From the very start of the church in Ukraine, the missionaries were so welcome. And at the beginning of the church, there were sort of a model. There were aliens in good sense. I mean, there were people who taught us to smile, who taught us to actually love our culture because they loved our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so frank and simple in good sense again, and that people admired the way they conduct and their behavior. So, and actually many people got baptized because of the missionaries, and then mm-hmm. Of course when the missionaries left home, many of them became less active. But these days, we realize that the missionary work rests not with the missionaries anymore. Again, this this concept of low-hanging fruit and the top fruit. And so we love missionaries. We very much appreciate their time and their efforts, and appreciate the what the parents have done for them. And on the other hand, we can see that contacting and tracting and street displays do not work as good as they used to some 5 or 6 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So as a members in the stake, we feel that it's now time to move to a next level, to grow up, to be more mature members, and to actually become a light to people around us. And that's, to us, is the only way we can see to share the gospel, is to be example, be model to model family or example families to other families in Ukraine, in Kyiv, and convince others and or help them see how the gospel actually works in our lives and how it blesses and how it changes for good our lives. So that's missionaries still do their tracking and contacting, but they really rely on members to provide referrals and to provide them people to teach.
Mm-hmm. Are most of your missionaries from the United States, or do you have many missionaries from other areas of Europe? What's the makeup of your missionaries?
Mostly they are young men from the United States. We have some from Russia missions. We have some sisters from Armenia. And we used to, there was a time like several years ago when we had many elders and sisters coming from Mongolia.
Oh.
We don't have many coming from Central or Western Europe.
Uh-huh. Well, it's marvelous to be able to have the missionaries in our midst and to be able to work with them, to find people to teach. But I'm sure what you said about having the members work with their friends is the best way to bring people into the gospel. How have the members been accepted by their non-member friends? Is the church being accepted a little bit? Is there still a lot of feeling of opposition to the church? What's the sense on that?
The church in Ukraine is still in obscurity.
Mm-hmm.
Many people in Ukraine don't know a lot about the Mormon church, and mostly when they hear the term Mormon, they have some negative reaction or it's associated with some negative feelings to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's a myth. They don't know much about Mormons. But when and part of our great effort, especially as we're preparing for the temple in Ukraine, as public affairs, as to destroy those myths and to help people learn about the church and its members and the family emphasis and so on. So, in most instances, probably people have some negative reaction when they hear about the Mormons, but not until they learn or get to know people who call themselves Mormons.
Yeah.
And when they see their sincerity and the light and some good principles, they have more respect and then interest, and quite often they start to share our values, even though they don't necessarily become members of our church, but they become friends of the church.
Yeah. And that, I think that's a principle throughout the world, where the more you have members of the church become acquainted with their neighbors, the easier it is to have neighbors become acquainted with the church and the church to grow, and then it continues in a cycle.
Yes, and this is something we're working right now with our members, is to help them realize that they cannot hide the light.
Yeah.
They need to be the light first hand. They need to live the gospel in a way so that they can shine and not to hide this light and tell people that they belong to this church, that they confess this gospel and they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and to feel, to have this sense of urgency in sharing the gospel, and just be an example. We have a great example in our ward. We have a family baptized just probably 2 months ago. This family, there's a family of four. There's father and mother and two sons. And they, I can remember them coming to our open house 3 years ago, and they were quite interested in the church, and they visited several times, and they were friends of a family in our ward.
Uh-huh.
But then I did not see them for quite a while, but then they came again, and they said that they feel the world goes into darkness, and they can see the values are distorted. And they want their two sons to grow up in a healthy society, and they realize that this church has true principles, and it's the church is the best society they could find in Ukraine, at least. So they eventually got baptized, and they said that the key role in their conversion story was this friend family, and this family in our ward, they have five children right now, and they're happy and wonderful family. And that family was an example to that convert, those converts. And they just wanted to have the family built after the pattern of this family. And all our friends just shared that it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that makes their lives happy and their family life happy. So I think that's the way how it's supposed to be, and that's what we're working with others, with our members right now, is to help them be the light, and then not to shy to shine.
Yeah, yeah, and share that light. That's marvelous. Well, Bishop, we've enjoyed so much our visiting together. I'm Tim Taggart. The program's Into All the World on the Mormon Channel, and we've been visiting with Bishop Slava Vorobyov from Kiev, Ukraine. Bishop, we'd love to be able to hear your testimony, if you wouldn't mind sharing your testimony with us. And when you conclude in English, we'd love to hear you share your testimony in Ukrainian, if you would.
I truly know that there is God. I truly know that He's our Heavenly Father. And I know that Jesus Christ is His Son and our Savior. I am infinitely grateful for our Savior and for His atonement. And I know that He and His Father actually appeared to Prophet Joseph Smith. I know the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, just as the Bible is. And I know that there is priesthood. I know these principles because I practice them in my life, and I can see the fruit thereof. And the gospel brings happiness to my family and to my life, and I know it's the best that could happen to me and my family is to be members of the church. And I truly know that President Monson, he's a prophet. And since I was deacon, since I was 12, I've always tried to accept and to live the counsel that the prophets and apostles, the church leaders, have given. And I saw how it works in my life. And that's why I have a testimony that they are prophets. Я знаю, що церква істина. Я знаю, що є Бог. Я знаю, що Його Син, Ісус Христос, є нашим Спасителем. Я знаю, що Євангелія істина. Я знаю, що є священство. Я знаю, що Небесний Батько Джозеф Сміт явилися пророку Джозефу Сміту. Небесний Батько Ісус Христос явилися пророку Джозефу Сміту. Я знаю, що книга Мормона істина, як істина є Біблія. Я знаю, що президент Монсон є пророком, і що дотримання порад, які дає він, інші церковні керівники, дотримання Євангелії приносить в життя щастя і радість, в особисте життя і в сімейне життя. І це моє свідчення в ім'я Ісуса Христа. Амінь.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. We've been visiting with Bishop Slava Vorobyov of the Borshchevsky Ward of the Kiev, Ukraine Stake. The program is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm Tim Taggart.
You have been listening to Into All the World.